welcome to episode 2 of the UK Gamer. I'm Robert, and I'm going to be spending the next few moments to talk to you about what's been going on, and also pass some comments on a particular game. Well, I'm actually going to talk about the game first this time round, and put my news at the end. And the reason for that is I've got a lot to get through, because the game I'm going to be talking about is Wings of War. Now, if you've never heard of Wings of War, what is it? Well, Wings of War is a series of games regarding World War I aviation. Now, it all started with Wings of War Famous Aces, which was released in 2004. Now, this is a great little game, and I actually remember seeing it as a brand new game at a game show. And I was very interested, because I've long been interested in World War I, particularly the aviation. And I went over and had a chat with the guy, and I was really keen. And then I said, do they have any miniatures for it? And they said, no, it's just cards. And I was a bit dismissive, because part of the problem is that a lot of the people I play games with weren't really into cards at the time. And so it looked good, but it wasn't going to be for me. And I thought, well, I'll keep an eye on that. It looks quite good, but I'm not going to buy it. I've got other things to spend my money on right now. And I actually regret that looking back, because it's an absolutely superb game system. Now, how do I know it's a superb game system? Well, over the years, they brought out more and more supplements and books for it. For example, in 2005, there was Watch Your Back, and I believe also in 2005, Burning Dragons. There was also in 2006... the Recon on Top Fighter booster packs, and in 2008, the Dogfighter Nimulum packs. But in 2007, they actually released miniatures, and that's when I actually picked up the game, and it's been very, very popular down at my wargaming club. In fact, it's actually become the game, if we can't really agree on what we all want to play, I just go along with Wings of War, and that's what we play, and it causes all sorts of fun. Now, the original box sets are actually Famous Aces, Watch Your Back, and Burning Dragons. Now, in the box sets, you get the cards for your plane, the maneuver decks, which is how you actually move your planes around on the table. You also get damage decks and sticks to do the shooting with your machine guns, which has two ranges for one damage and two damage cards. And you also get lots of other little sundry bits and pieces. You also get some rules and some scenarios. I must admit, I haven't actually tried too many of the scenarios. We tend to just have roving patrols bumping into each other. But that's something we are definitely interested in. It does add something to the game, rather than just whacking down a load of planes and flying them into each other. Now, in addition to the box sets, you've also got little kind of booster packs, and that's the Recon, Top Fighters, Dogfighter, and Imulan. Basically, these just give you extra planes and the maneuver decks that go with them. Now, if all you're going to do is stick with the cards, I recommend you buy as many of the boxes as you can. They can be hard to get hold of, because they often run out and have to be reprinted. And when I started getting into the game, Famous Aces disappeared for a long time. Luckily, I was able to pick up one. Now, with the release of the miniatures, obviously, this changes things slightly. You no longer as such need the plane cards. However, I think it's still worthwhile picking them up, because, well, if you do like I did, I actually bought two copies of Baraka and Jentz, and I repainted them. So I've now got a Baraka and a Fitzmaurice, and a Jentz and a Bowler, and apologies for anyone who actually knows how to pronounce those German names. Now, with regard to the miniatures, there's been three series so far, Series 1, Series 2, and Series 3, and it's nice to have all of them, but you actually only need one of each plane type. Often, you know, you might have a set of planes and they're all the same. So don't feel you need to go out and buy every single one. However, if you want to have really big battles and you want it to be fairly evenly matched, then it might be a good idea to pick up several varieties. Now, the deluxe set is actually a complete game in its own right. It comes with four miniatures, the damage decks, the maneuver cards, and everything you need. Unfortunately, Fantasy Flight Games doesn't seem to have picked up the English, I should say, distribution rights. So, for example, I bought a copy, and it's actually German. So it all came with German rules. However, all the cards don't use any language-specific text, so it doesn't matter where you buy your set from, it's still usable with all the other sets. So how have I actually been able to play the deluxe set? Well, it's very simple. The rules are actually available online to download, and therefore you can buy the deluxe set. You've got everything you need to go, download the free rules, and you're good. However, the advantage of buying the other box sets is it gives you more damage card decks, which when you're playing big battles is useful, gives you more manoeuvres and more planes, and if you want to, you could always buy non-official planes and build them yourselves, paint them, and go with those. And that's something that I was starting to get very tempted by, but the release of the Imulan booster in 08 makes me think that some of my favourite planes, the Eindecker and the DH2, will be coming real soon as a miniature. And a bit later on, I'm actually going to try and talk a bit about what's been put forward as potential future options for Wings of War. Now, with regard to the Wings of War range, there are also some unofficial variants, and there's also a World War II version, which was called Dawn of War, but it's now called Dawn of World War II, basically to avoid any confusion with the 40K computer game of the same name. So Wings of War is both World War I and World War II now. Now, I don't have too much experience with the World War II version. I did actually buy it. I've yet to actually get it on the table. What's really interesting, of course, is miniatures have also been announced for that. And I can see when the miniatures come out, people getting a lot more interested in that. A lot of people on the web have actually gone out and bought their own miniatures for World War II. And, you know, that's something you can obviously do if you so desire. Now, with regard to what's going on with Wings of War, the basic gameplay is you have your plane, and your plane has a maneuverability rating and a gun rating. And the gun rating determines which damage deck you use, so when you actually shoot someone, they draw cards from your damage deck. With regard to the maneuvers, some planes are very good at going in a straight line, others at swooping around. And some planes can swoop around quite well, but to do so actually involves a degree of difficulty, which if you get injured, possibly you won't be able to perform some of those moves. In addition, some of the planes are actually two-seaters, and they're absolutely lethal. First time you tried those, just flew right into the middle of a big pack and just shot everyone to bits. Finally, the rear gunner did get shot, but by then most people were so damaged they were easy to pick off. And that's the other thing. Different planes have different strengths to how good they are at taking damage. And for example, the Fokker triplane, very manoeuvrable, reasonable gun, but falls out the sky very regularly. And every time I play as the Red Baron, I seem to die about three or four times and basically curse and swear that I picked a plane that, whilst manoeuvrable, doesn't take many hits. Well, you don't actually need to worry too much about a plane dying a lot, because one of the great things about Wings of War is the games play very quickly. Now, my little tips to you is to play on as small a table as you possibly can. Most people actually play on too big a table. And if you think you're going to be shooting someone down a lot, maybe give them two planes. Now, this does give them a bit of an overhead trying to work out what they're going to do. But at least then, if their first plane gets shot down, there is a second. And in fact, we did have a battle royale one Christmas where we had six players with about three planes each. And that was great fun, very confusing, and just perfect way to kind of end the year. Now, talking of years, what's going to be happening in 2009? Well, quite a lot. There's the Game Mat scheduled for April, and that's looking really nice. A blue sheet or a green sheet would probably do just as good a job at a lot less cost, but it just doesn't look as good as the Game Mat. Obviously, you could make your own Game Mat up with fields and trenches and print it out and stuff, but I like the look of the Game Mat. I'm going to wait till I actually physically see it, but I'm probably going to pick that up. Come about August, hopefully Flight of Giants should be out, and that's going to be Bombers. In December, there'll be some boosters, Hit and Run and Crossfire, which are kind of extra planes. But the bit I'm most excited about is in, hopefully, September, the Bloom Busters box set. And a supporting box with a model of a balloon and a Newport 16. And I think they're going to be very high up on my purchasing list. And there's also, hopefully, by the end of the year, the Series 4 miniatures. So that's looking really good for World War One. And I think I'm going to pick up most of those, but definitely the Bloom Busters and the Series 4 miniatures. Now, with regard to the World War Two game, there's already two boosters out, and there's hopefully going to be a couple more. There's also going to be a new box set that looks very intriguing, Far From the Sky, and that's going to include dive bombers and stuff, so expect your Stukas. Far From the Sky box set hopefully around May time, the extra boosters around August. But probably most exciting of all is hopefully in May, the miniatures will come out, and also a deluxe set, which again will be probably not in English, but hopefully Fantasy Flight will realise the error of their ways and change their mind, and that should be out in July. So as you can see, there's loads of stuff scheduled for 2009, and let's hope it all kind of hits target dates. Things often don't come out, so the game mat due for April, I guess we have to wait and see whether it actually does manage to get out in April. Now, it's possible they will get it out, but whether you can actually get hold of it, because obviously there are different European releases, plus the Fantasy Flight release, and they don't always chime together. I do remember picking up some miniatures which came direct from Fantasy Flight, and some other miniatures that I actually got from a European source, and you might have to be prepared to do that. But if you shop around on the internet or talk to your local friendly game store, hopefully you should be able to pick up any of those things that you need. You can pick up a lot of the other stuff I've been talking about. That's still fairly readily available, but as I say, sometimes they do run out of stock, and you might have to hunt around to find someone who's still got some stock, or just wait for the reprinting or reissuing of whichever product you're after. My top tip for you is to pick up the deluxe set and download the rules if you're into miniatures. And if you're not, the Famous Aces and Burning Dragons are the two best sets out of the box sets. Watch Your Back is pretty good as well, but Famous Aces and Burning Dragons, I think, are better as individual standalone games. And that's one thing I didn't mention, actually. The box sets tend to stand by themselves. The booster packs with the planes, you're going to need a box set to play with those. And as I say, in theory, if you buy the deluxe sets with the miniatures, you don't actually need anything else. But if you want to have extra cards, extra damage cards, extra rulers, extra plane mats for your plane, then you know, pick up the card-based box sets from Famous Aces and so on. Anyway, I think that should do for now regarding Wings of War. I hope it's a game that you're now aware of, or if it's a game that you have played, then obviously, you know, let me know and tell me your stories. I'd love to hear how you found the Wings of War. When I first took it down to the Games Club, everyone poo-pooed it. It was like, oh, it's, you know, it's not really a proper war game. But after one play, which lasted about half an hour, it's basically become the go-to game. As I say, if we can't agree on anything to play, we're play Wings of War. And quite often people say, let's play Wings of War next week. So, you know, try it out at your club if you've got a copy. And I think you'll find it's really good. It's also a game that I'm starting to see at conventions more and more. People who like it tend to be quite evangelical from what I can tell. Now, if you, as I say, like the sound of it, be prepared just to play with the basic rules to start with. They're very simple to pick up, and it basically is pick three maneuver cards. If you've got a firing opportunity, shoot, draw a damage card, repeat, repeat, repeat. Now, it sounds very simple, and it is, and that's what's been really good about it. I've actually got three guys down at my club who, it's such a simple game, They've brought their kids along to the club. They've played it, loved it, and they've gone out and bought their own copy because it's, you know, it's small. If you buy one of the box sets, easy to pick up, easy to play, quick to play, and great fun. Now, you can add levels of complexity if you're finding the kind of core game a bit basic. And one way you can do that is to introduce collision rules. Obviously, the scenarios can add extra complexity. And the biggest complexity overhead is to start dealing with altitude. Now, we found the altitude rules added a great deal of complexity to the game without per se making the game more fun to play. So we do typically ignore them, but they are a very good set of rules. If you do use the altitude rules, you're probably going to want to pick up one of the booster packs. Probably the best to get one of the most recent ones. And if you're very careful how you actually open up the booster pack, on the back piece of card is a list of all the planes with their climb rate and their maximum ceiling height. So you can actually have planes flying at, I don't know, 12, level 12, and other planes flying at level 14. Now, the disadvantage with that, of course, that means potentially you're not going to be able to shoot them because they're too high, but they can bounce you and shoot you. So if you want to have a more realistic game at the cost of complexity and having to monitor your height and all that stuff, there are the facilities to do that. And, you know, give it a go, definitely, but don't be doing, for your first altitude game, lots and lots of planes. Maybe just one-on-one with one plane each. Once you kind of get to grips with it, go with that. Anyway, I think that's probably covered Wings of War quite comprehensively. If you've got any questions or any stories, as I say, get in contact with me. And hopefully I haven't had too many errors about describing what you do and don't get with the game. So as I say, at the end of the day, my recommendation is get the deluxe set for miniatures, one of the box sets for just the cards, and I recommend it to you because it's quick, it's simple, it's fun, and it's easy to learn, but it's got enough grit in there if you need to add complexity to feel like you're actually getting a more realistic experience. So, there you go, that should do for now. And I'm going to take a little break now, and when we come back, I'm going to have a couple of news and comments about what's been going on.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the other sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now, we're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn. I wish I'd visited Yogg-Sothoth.com more often.
Yogg-Sothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
The Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from Yogg-Sothoth.com.
Hi, and welcome back. Now, there's loads of news I could talk about and lots of conventions and so forth, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to just try and stick to the bits that have really caught my eye. Now, the bit that's really going great guns right now in the games market, as far as I'm concerned, is in wargaming and the 28mm hard plastic kind of surge. And now, obviously, Games Workshop pretty much seem to lead the way with the plastics, and they're just getting better and better with every single release. But all sorts of other manufacturers are jumping on the bandwagon. Obviously, Perry's range is looking really, really good. There's the British Rifleman that are out now, and you can actually pick up some sprues of that, and I'm not sure if they're still doing it, but at one stage Perry were doing order some figures and we're chucking a couple of Riflemen for you, so that might be worth looking into. Vitrix obviously continue to make announcements about new products and actually bringing out products, and hopefully their French will soon be with us, also hopefully the Highlanders and so forth. Wargames Factory are bringing out products and making more announcements, and of course they've got their kind of enough people order some figures, we'll make them system. So it might be worthwhile checking out Wargames Factory. In particular, they've released some photos of zombies, and they look quite good. So if you're into your zombies, definitely go check that out. Warlord again continued to release metal and plastic figures for Celts and Romans and so on. So really great range of products coming out. But what really kind of caught me by surprise was the announcement that Hats were entering the 28mm hard plastic range, and I believe they brought out some El Cid Spanish figures. Now, that's great news. I've been always very impressed by some of their 20mm soft plastic products. In fact, I've got a huge box full of 20mm figures. But, of course, the problem with 20mm figures, they often are the softer plastic, which is a bit of a pain to paint and cut and convert and glue. So if they're going into the hard plastic, that's great news. And if they're going into 28mm, obviously that's going to really expand the scope of the figures you can use for Napoleonic and Ancients. They've got a great product range, and I assume they're going to bring the more popular scales up. Now, when you talk about plastic, as I say, you think of Games Workshop. There's the Stomper product coming out this month for the 40k Orcs, and that's looking like an awesome figure. Might tempt me into the Apocalypse realm. Have to wait and see. I've got lots of stuff I'd rather be spending my money on, to be frank. But if I can find the budget for it, I might be very tempted. It's looking like a really nice figure. Obviously, Forge World keeps calling me, and I keep resisting. But the Nurgle stuff they're bringing out is just really, really nice. And if you're into Chaos, if you're into any 40k or fantasy stuff, there's lots of nice stuff at the Forge World website. But I think they're 40k Chaos stuff is really, really good and might tempt me to look into getting a Chaos army for that game system. But the biggest news and the most exciting news of all, as far as I'm concerned, is the War of the Ring product, which is for Lord of the Rings figures. Now, it's basically a separate product from the Lord of the Rings game, and I'm quite pleased they're bringing it out because I was disappointed with the Lord of the Rings game. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a great system, it's got lovely products, but I didn't want to fight little small-scale skirmishes. To be honest, if I'm doing that, I'd rather be doing role-playing. But I wanted to do, you know, the Battle of Helm's Deep or the Battle of Pelennor Fields, and War of the Rings is going to allow you to do that. And basically, it's a slightly different game system. I guess it's a bit more like Warhammer Fantasy because you're using big blocks of troops. But to be honest, to my mind, it's much more like a game system like Impetus, where you're working with huge bases and big battle formations. Now, from what I can tell, the War of the Rings system is coming out pretty much next month, but there is a downloadable preview set of quick start rules, and you can also buy the movement trays as of this month. Now, the movement trays is what forms a company, and a company is two cavalry figures or eight infantry figures, and you group them together in a formation which consists of 1 to 9 companies. So basically, a formation at minimum is going to be 2 cavalry figures, at most it's going to be 18 cavalry figures, or if you're with infantry, 8 figures or 72. So you've got potential for huge formations with lots of figures. Now, I imagine an Uruk-hai pike block of 72 figures is just going to look simply awesome, particularly when it's being charged down by a load of Rohan cavalry. So that's looking like a really good game system. A few extras coming out for that, like army boxes and command boxes, and of course the rather lovely looking Ents. So I can see me getting all my figures that have been stored on the shelf for years, unopened and unloved. I can see them being opened up, clipped, tidied up, based, painted and played. So War of the Rings, as far as I'm concerned, is going to make me go from someone who collects wargaming Lord of the Rings figures to someone who actually plays with them. So definitely go check out Games Workshop's website. They've got loads of good stuff there. Now, at a slightly different scale, Ground Zero Games continues to impress me with their 15mm product range, obviously sci-fi, and they keep tempting me with those. I wish they'd stop bringing them out. They're absolutely gorgeous. If you're into sci-fi and you're into 15mm, definitely go check out the GZG website. So take yourself off to Ground Zero Games. I'm hoping they're going to re-release their 15mm stuff as 6mm figures, because that's what I like my sci-fi to be in. If it's not 28mm, I like it to be 6mm. And when you're talking about 6mm, I know there's quite a few manufacturers out there like Irregular and Adler and so on, but I think 6mm, Bacchus or GHQ. Now, Bacchus obviously have their sci-fi range, the Command Horizon products. They also have the Napoleonics and Ancients. Now, in the Napoleonic sphere, they're updating the British and bringing out new British and working their way through various other European countries. They've also brought out in the Ancients the Sassanid range, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else they're bringing out this year. There's a whole load of stuff they hope to bring to market this year, and I hope they manage to bring all of those through, plus all the other bits and pieces people have been screaming for years or months. And I think Peter, if he can, will bring out every single thing that anyone wants eventually. But there you go. Now, on the GHQ front, I think there's slightly more excitement there with the announcement of the 1947 product range, which is going to be all the sexy toys that the Germans were bringing out towards the end of the war, that they actually had as prototypes, and even stuff they had just as blueprints. And, of course, there's also going to be other countries as well bringing all their sexy toys as well. Now, the great bit about that is you can do a what-if-the-war-didn't-end scenario. You could do a what-if-we-actually-went-into-Russia because, you know, we wanted to get rid of communism. And loads of really nice, sexy toys there for those of you into that sort of stuff. Plus, gives you the advantage of actually being able to use your five E-100s rather than just play with just the one. Because, after all, at the end of the day, they didn't really make too many of them in reality. But by going to 1947, you can... get to play with all your sexy toys. Now, moving on to role-playing games, I guess there's two big news items as far as I'm concerned there. AD&D, you're going to have the Player's Handbook 2 coming out. And I'm really looking forward to actually getting a decent game of 4th edition going. To be honest, I'm a bit of a 1st edition snob. Didn't really get into 3rd edition. Did play a bit of 2nd, but I decided to stick with 1st edition. But 4th edition has piqued my interest. And, you know, the miniatures they bring for that will really help me persuade guys down at the War Games Club maybe to give D&D a tryout. But the other role-playing system that we really get into is the Gumshoe system. Now, obviously, you've got Esoterrorist, Fear Itself, the Trail of Cthulhu, which is really great, and the new product, Mutant City Blues. And that's actually out now and fairly easy to get hold of. And there's all sorts of other great stuff coming out for the Gumshoe system. So definitely go check out Pelgrane's website. Now... on the console front, there's all sorts of fun stuff there. Obviously, Killzone's come out for PlayStation finally, and that's looking really, really good. And then you've got Halo Wars and Resident Evil on Xbox, looking good. But of more interest to me on the Xbox is the sort of stuff they're doing with arcade. Lots of really good board games being ported across to arcade, and what's great about that is, as I say, you can download trial versions, and then if you like it, upgrade to get the full version. But what caught my eye was in the first quarter, they're hoping to bring Blood Bowl out on the Xbox, and I guess it will come out on other games consoles as well. But Blood Bowl, that's an interesting idea. Let's hope they do a better job than the old Blood Bowl computer game, which a lot of people weren't too keen on. But the Blood Bowl on the Xbox, that could be quite good fun. Now, let's not forget the Wii. Now, what really caught my eye on the Wii is I went into a game store over the weekend and I saw Dead Rising, Chop Till You Drop. Now, I can imagine using a nunchuck in Dead Rising. That's going to be great fun. Unfortunately, obviously, you're going to take a bit of a graphical hit going from an Xbox to a Wii, but the advantage of using the nunchuck, I think, is going to create some really manic chopping and slashing as you try and escape the hordes of zombies. So that could be a system well worth looking at, Dead Rising and the Wii. Now, finally, I'm going to round out with the various shows that are up and coming. There's been quite a few shows last month in February, and I hope you managed to get to all the shows you wanted to. If you're anything like me, you're totally disorganised and haven't been able to get to any of the shows in February, and probably not get to any of the shows you want to go to in March either. Now, kind of early on, you've got the Horde of the Things tournament at Penarth on the 7th and 8th. A bit later on, you've got the TravCon on the 13th to the 15th. Now, that's a small little convention. It's kind of a residential one, and you can normally only have about 30 people go to that. And last time I checked, lots of spaces have been taken, so you might find it a bit difficult to get there. Sadly, it's one of those conventions I always have in my diary as something I want to go to and never quite get round to going. But hopefully soon I'll be able to go, so maybe next year. Towards the end of the month, you've got Salute, the big show on the 28th. And if you can't make that, well, and you're maybe in the north of the country, you might want to consider Compulsion on the 27th to 29th up in Edinburgh. And, of course, there's loads of other shows going on as well. Now, I also want to mention Triples, which is actually early in April, 4th to 5th, and that's another game show I'd definitely like to get to, particularly as obviously it's the local show for Bacchus, and you often get to have a look at really nice stuff at the Triple Show. So that's a show I'm definitely going to try and get myself to. Somehow I've got a feeling I'm not going to make it, but who knows, maybe I will. Well, anyway, that's a quick whistle-stop tour of all the exciting news. But as I say, biggest news for me is the War of the Ring. That's going to look really, really good, I think. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. And hopefully I haven't missed out any piece of news you really would have liked to hear about. Looking forward to some feedback. Had a couple of comments already. Thank you for those. And that's really it for this show. So I hope you enjoyed Wings of War. Hope you enjoyed the news. And I'll see you next time. So take care and good gaming.